Last time we were mainly talking about the Buddha. Very often when we read books about Buddhism, we find the life of the Buddha. But we don't see anyone writing about what a Buddha is. And no one seems to know what a Buddha is. Everyone thinks that Buddha is just a human being and he is just a philosopher or something like that, who lived in India at such and such a time, and he began to talk about something. But that is not what it is. A Buddha is not even a human being. It's very important to understand that. And very often these writers and speakers on Buddhism, they don't seem to understand what a Buddha is. Now, this is why I always start with talking about the Buddha. Now, in most religions, they talk about a god. God with the capital G. And very often people think that this God is the creator of the world. But they are also saying that this God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and at the same time all-good. So philosophers, Western philosophers themselves have been asking the question, if this God is all good and all powerful and all wise, knowing everything, how can there be suffering in the world? How can there be evil in the world? Why are human beings fighting and quarreling all the time? Wars and terrorism and all kinds of things going on. Crimes. Is the God not able to do something about this? If he is the creator of the world. So proper answers have not been given. And this is why some philosophers have been saying God is dead. Now, the Buddhist position is, some people think Buddhism is atheistic, which means that Buddhists don't believe in a God. That is not true. Buddhists are not atheists. Buddhists have a different definition of God. That's what important to understand. Buddhists don't say that God is the creator of the world. This is the important thing to understand. So that problem doesn't arise. For the Buddhist, God is a human concept. And this human concept is not the concept of creator. It is the concept of a person who is perfect in wisdom, in knowledge, perfect in powers, and perfect in goodness. And human beings form this concept, and that becomes an ideal. And religion is an effort to reach that state. And that means people practice religion in order to realize that idea, to come to that state. So the practice of Buddhism is not just obeying some rules laid down by a creator or even a person called a Buddha. That's not the meaning of religion for the Buddhist. Religion is a method of evolution of the human mind. The human being has to evolve. All these crimes and wars and all the troubles that we find in the human world is because the human being is not fully evolved. It is true that the human being is the most evolved out of all the animals, but still the human being is not fully evolved. And the evolution is not a physical evolution that has to take place. It's an evolution of the mind, the evolution of consciousness. And human beings, when they begin to evolve in this way, they evolve as individuals, not as groups, not as a species. And from time to time, human beings, through the practice of religion, evolve to high levels. And when a person evolves to that highest point where one becomes perfect in knowledge, perfect in understanding, perfect in powers, perfect in goodness, he is called a Buddha. That is the meaning of Buddha. Buddha is a human being who has become God. That is how we see a Buddha. Buddha, now when we say God in the Sri Lankan language, they have a translation for the word God, and that is Devyo. That is a wrong translation. God with the capital G doesn't mean Devyo. When the Sri Lankan people say Devyo, they are referring to the inhabitants of heaven. But in the English language, the inhabitants of heaven are called angels, not gods. So, when they use the word Devyo, they are thinking of angels. And when we say Buddha is the God, then they say, how can Buddha be God? You are insulting the Buddha. Because gods are just people in heaven. You see, this is the mistake that is being made. Really, God with the capital G is not just an angel. God with the capital G is the one who is perfect in knowledge, perfect in powers, perfect in goodness, love. God is love. And who is that person described in that way? A person who has those attributes is really the Buddha. This is what we have to understand. So the whole practice of Buddhism as a religion is simply an effort to evolve to that level. And in evolving to that level, the first thing is to have this one belief of the Buddhist is that it is possible for a human being to reach that state of perfection. And the proof of that is the Buddha. As a person who reached that state of perfection. And not only that, it's not only the Buddha who reached that state. All the disciples of the Buddha during the time of the Buddha, who became arahants, they also reached that state of perfection. So in other words, this is not even Superman. It is even going beyond Superman. Because during the time of the Buddha, if you read the sutras, you'll see that the Buddha has been traveling in space like Superman that you find in the movies, and the Buddha has been doing all kinds of miracle-like things. And today people begin to doubt that. But doubt is simply because they have never seen people doing that. But if you learn the teachings of the Buddha, you will find that the Buddha has taught people how to do it. And that is through a process of evolution, not by just some trickery or some kind of mechanical device or even a magic show. But this is real powers of the mind. The mind can be developed to that point where you begin to have certain powers, psychic powers. But that is simply man becoming Superman. Even during the time of the Buddha, when the Buddha was born, there were people who had reached that state. And there was this ascetic called Asita. When the Prince Siddhartha was born, he came to visit the prince to see the child that is born. And at that time, he came through his psychic powers because he had even visited the heavens at that time through his power. Now people think these are just myths and legends and things like that. But these are not really myths and legends. This is simply that the human being can reach that state of evolution. It's an evolutionary level. But even Superman is not the highest point. The real, the highest level is the level of the Buddha or the Arahant, which is a full evolution. I didn't have the time to go into a detailed discussion of the evolution of the human being, but we don't have to do it now. But the important thing is to understand the real potential of the human mind. And even today, psychologists talk about this, that there is the unconscious that people have not fully understood, and if it is properly developed, it is possible to gain certain powers. Even today, we find people talking about these things. Even people who talk about quantum physics, they begin to talk about things like that, that the human mind can do many things. But the important thing is to understand that a Buddha is a person, a human being who can rise to that level. That is the main belief of the Buddhist. And of course, in religions like Christianity, we find that they believe that the human being can never be perfect like God. Only God is perfect, that is the Creator. And also that what the human being can do is simply to pray to the God and ask for forgiveness, and God can forgive the sins, but the human being can never become perfect like God. But here in Buddhism, we believe that it is possible for the human being to reach that state of perfection. That's the important thing to understand. Now, with this we begin the next step. Once we have understood the Buddha, and by understanding the Buddha, we begin to understand our own potentials, what we can become, what we can be. And then we can get the courage and the confidence to proceed from there. And that is to begin to become good. So goodness is the real state of perfection, ultimately. And this goodness is, we begin to practice the goodness by practicing good behavior. And that is what we call the five precepts. The five precepts of the Buddhist is simply to practice good behavior. What does that mean? It is very important to understand what we mean by good behavior. Of course, there is the philosophers have been talking about a thing called ethics, where they begin to discuss what is good and what is bad and all that. But the important thing from a Buddhist point of view is that our emotions are all self-centered. All our emotions, which come in the form of desire for things and the hatred of things, the fears, the worries, the anxieties, all that is self-centered. Now, psychologists like Sigmund Freud, they have been saying that these are natural instincts, and it is common with all animals. It's an instinct of self-preservation. And so we are also animals, and we are having all these instincts, and we cannot get rid of them. So we are all self-centered beings. But the Buddha pointed out that we don't have to think like that. It is possible to get rid of all these self-centered emotions. The self-centeredness is coming from the emotions. And these emotions can be completely eliminated from our system. That is how we can become good people. Goodness comes from the absence of emotions, because the presence of emotions make us bad. That is what we have to understand. Now, when I say this, there are some who say, what about the good emotions? Good emotions like love. This is very important to understand that. There was a psychologist called Eric Fromm, who wrote a book called The Art of Loving. I think you should read that book. Very important to know that. Because this English word called love is misleading. He points out that when we use this word love, there are three kinds of love. One is what is called sexual love, a love between a man and a woman. That is called love. And even sexual relationships they call love making. Now that is not real love. There, Eric Fromm uses some Greek or Latin words where he uses the word eros for that. Eros is this love between man and woman. That is a selfish kind of love. It is self-centered. And then there is another kind of love, like the love between parents and children, the family love. He calls that philia. The word philia is used for that. And there, that kind of love is also self-centered. It's an attachment. And then he says there is another kind of love. That is something like when Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now there, that kind of love is an unselfish kind of love. It's that he calls, there is a word called agape. This agape is the word that he used to point out that there is a kind of love which is to become interested in the welfare of others, not for your sake, but for the sake of others. If you can become interested in others for their sake, that is the true love. But that love is not an emotion. This is the important thing to understand. That is the absence of emotion. That kind of love is possible only when our mind is calm and tranquil. When the mind is calm and tranquil, the mind is free of emotional excitement. It is only when the mind is pure in this state that the true love can come in. So it is very important to understand what we mean by good and what we mean by bad. Bad means all that is self-centered. Good means what is unselfish, selflessness. Even the thought I am, the thought mind is self-centered. This is why when a person becomes a Buddha or an Arahant, even that thought, I and mind disappears. He might use that word to in conversation in order to be able to communicate, but he doesn't feel a self or the feel mind. That feeling of I or mind is absent in a Buddha. So it is possible for a human being to reach that state. This is the important thing that the Buddha pointed out. But we cannot suddenly become that. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual process by which we can reach that state. And the starting point is to gain control over our emotions in our behavior. That means if I become angry, that anger is expressed in our behavior, in speech and in action. Now, even if I am angry, if I can stop speaking bad words, and if I can stop acting angrily, like going to fight or kill or whatever we want to do, if we can stop that, that is called sila. Sila means that we control our behavior. Even if I am angry, I don't speak bad language, bad words, and I don't act in the angry way. This is the meaning of the five precepts. The first precept says, not to hurt anyone. Now, not hurting others is to gain control over our behavior there. And the second precept says not to steal. Even if we like to take something belonging to another person, we don't do it. So that is the second precept. Or the third precept is sexual misconduct. That means we don't go into adultery or any kind of sexual behavior which is hurting other people. Now that is again the third precept. So when we go to the fourth precept, we are speaking about controlling our speech. We don't tell lies, we don't speak harsh words, we don't gossip or carry tales around, speaking ill of other people, or we don't even speak words and language that can be called bad words and bad language of any kind. So this is the control of speech. And then of course the last precept is about not taking any liquor or alcohol or anything like that, which spoils the mind in any kind of drugs that we take. To avoid that means we are avoiding the mind getting into a situation where the mind is not able to think properly and reason out properly and act properly. So this is just the five precepts really speak about what we should not do. But there is another part to this, which is what we should do. Should not do is the sila. When we speak about what we should do, we have another word, dana. Again, this word dana has been misunderstood by people. Most people think dana means giving food to the monks. That is not the meaning of dana. Dana means making sacrifices for others. We can give what we have, share with others. If we don't have much, we can at least give to others whatever we can, not only as gifts. We can also give to others in terms of giving our time for others. We can give our energy for others. help others to do certain things. We can make sacrifices of various kinds for others, not just for ourselves. If we are all the time thinking only of ourselves, what we want, why go and try to help other people, or why should I do this and why should I do that? That's not the right thing. So, when we begin to speak about this, there is this other belief among the Buddhists, which is that we are not only living in this life. This is not the only life. We have been living many lives in the past, and we will be living many lives in the future. And this is what is called samsara. Samsara means something like a tour. That means we are going from life to life. And if we are fortunate in this life in some way, this fortune is simply because we have been living a good life in our past. Because this is karma, this is the meaning of karma, that we have been doing good things, we have been giving gifts to others, and as a result, we have got this opportunity of enjoying in certain ways. But some people, they may be enjoying in this life because of some past karma, but they forget that they have to be doing good things in this life so that they'll be able to enjoy the next life, so that they should be living a good life, making sacrifices for others in order to be able to live a good life in the future. Now, there is this teaching about the Buddha, teaching of the Buddha, which says that some people, they come and they are born in this world and they have come from places like the hells or the bad worlds, maybe the animal worlds or some bad place we have come to this world. And many people who come like that, very often they are born as poor people or in very uncomfortable situations. And when they are in this uncomfortable situation, very often they begin to do bad things. They might steal and they might commit adultery, they might kill people or do all kinds of bad things. And as a result, they go back to that bad world again. But there are some people who come from the bad places and live a good life here. And if they live a good life, then the next life can be good. So in the same way, there are people who come from good places, like maybe even from the heavens, they can come here and be born as human beings. And when they are born as human beings, most of those people who come from the good places, they are also born in good situations. But while being born in the good situation, they begin to do all kinds of bad things. And as a result, they go back into the bad places. But there are some people who are born coming from good places. They are born here and they also still practice good behavior and good things, and they are born in good places again. Now, what are these good things that we have to do? Is dana, sila, and bhavana. Dana is giving gifts or making sacrifices, and sila means gaining control over these emotions and impulses, and bhavana is meditation, which is cultivating good thoughts. Meditation is purifying the mind, and through meditation, now this is why I said this meditation is not just concentration. Meditation is purifying the mind, learning to purify the mind. And by purifying the mind, by thinking good thoughts, they are able to gain a good rebirth. Now, another important thing that we have also to understand is that I said earlier that there is a thing called Nirvanic Buddhism and Sansaric Buddhism. That means some people, they are thinking that they can enjoy life in sansara. Sansara means this chain of rebirths. There is no enjoyment in sansara. The important thing to understand is that it is easier for us to do bad things than to do good things. Because our natural tendency is to desire pleasures and hate pains. And this desire for pleasure and hatred of pain is what is creating all the crimes, all the wars, all the problems in this world. So it is only by being able to control these emotions that people can become good. And very few are able to control their emotions. Very often people are carried away by the emotions. This is the problem. And that means only very rarely that we get a good rebirth. Most of the time we are born in bad places, in bad situations, full of unhappiness and suffering. Only very rarely that we begin to be born in good situations. This is why sansara is a bad thing. The more we try to enjoy, the more we go away from happiness. Happiness comes not from giving in to our emotions. Normally we think if we are able to get things for us, we'll be happy. But if we begin to get things, we are not going to be happy because of that. Because however much we get, we'll never be satisfied. We want more. We want more. So the only way to find happiness is purify the mind. The pure mind is a happy mind. And the pure mind is a calm mind, free from emotional excitement. The emotional excitement is not the way to happiness. The true happiness comes from purity of mind. So this is the important thing to understand. And so, even if we lead a good life and we are born in the heavens according to the Buddha, we are going to die from there also. And even if we are born in the hells, we can come out, but it is very difficult to come out. The Buddha used an analogy to explain this. That means, supposing there is a turtle in the ocean. This turtle lives at the bottom of the ocean and comes up just to breathe once in 100 years. That turtle comes up. And a person takes a pole with a hole in it and breaks the pole so that the hole breaks up into two parts. So the hole was like this, like that, and now it is broken into two parts. So these two parts are thrown into the ocean. And it's a wood plank, and so it is carried by the wind and the waves and goes this way and that way. And it may be possible that one fine day these poles come back again and it makes up that hole. And when that turtle comes up, this turtle has only one eye. One eye is blind. So when he comes up, it may be possible that this one eye of the turtle will come and he'll be able to see through this hole when the two planks come together. Now this is a possibility, but not a probability. You see? So the important thing is, it is so difficult for a person who has gone into the bad worlds to come out. Why? Because when a person is in these bad words, they are not happy. Good thoughts don't come into their minds. They are angry or they are greedy or there are all kinds of things, and only a good thought will bring the person up out of that place. So this is why it is very difficult to come out. And so this is why we also must be very careful about the way we live our lives. And we must make use of this life. It is very rare to be born as a human being, according to the Buddha. And we are now very fortunate in being able to be born as a human being.